for different people, it's different, there are different needs. The first thing is to get over the trauma. It's not a good idea to remarry as a rebound or as an alternative. It should be as significant and as real as the first time around. It's a marriage, it's a life commitment. This is what you're going to be, this is who you're going to be. This is not a reflex, and it's not a cure for the first marriage or for the pain of the first marriage. So you got to be able to put that behind you. One of the ways that makes it easier to put it behind you is to not be intimidated by it. If you think it was a horrible mistake, if you think you were really out of your mind to even get involved, then trying again will feel very scary and too risky. But if you can look back and think, that was pretty much the kind of person I need to be married to, I can just do without the sharp edges and without the unnecessary shtick. With certain adjustments, it could have worked. Not that there are any regrets. It's just a reevaluation. It wasn't that far off base. It wasn't completely ridiculous. Then it's not so scary to try again. And you hear this from many people who are ready to try again. It's like, you know, the first one, had I been a little different, had he been a little different, had we done things a little differently, it could have worked. If it feels that way, then it really makes it easier to try again, to go for the second time. But if you're still traumatized and you're still shaken or shaking from the first failure, from the first disaster, that's gonna first of all, it's gonna discolor your opinion and your evaluation of people, because you're being overly protective, you're being overly cautious, and tiny faults will suddenly seem huge. So if you're still smarting, if you're still shaking from that, you got to heal a little. And again, the way to know that you've healed is to look back at it and be able to say, it was close. Out of a class of 40, I came in a close 38th. So it could have worked. Now I'm ready to give it a better shot, and I know what I'm doing, and it's going to turn out better than the first time. So if you can learn from the first time instead of being intimidated by the first time, that's really, really helpful. That can make a huge difference. Secondly, don't believe this business that people have patterns and they're attracted to dysfunctional men, and they're going to repeat their mistakes and so on. I think we've made it very clear that marriages are not the result of a person's whims. There's a divine plan. Your husband is your husband. The first one was the first, the second is the second. God is involved in this, and it is not the result of your bad choices or of your shtick. So put that out of your mind. There's no truth to that. If there is some similarity between a first husband and a second husband, statistically, it's because God is giving you the same challenge again, but not because you have a bad habit of picking up bad men. That reduces marriage to too frivolous an event. So, in Jewish thinking, this doesn't go. It doesn't apply. So people who are afraid, you know, I there's something about me that attracts dysfunctional men. It's not the case. There's something about you that attracts the man you're supposed to be married to. And if that man has shtick, well, then you'll work it. You'll fix it. You'll help him. But that's the man you need to be married to. You certainly don't want to go to the opposite extreme. It's like girls who say, I will not marry anyone remotely similar to my father. Because my father was so passive, he was so laid back, he had no opinion about anything, and he let my mother do whatever she wanted. I'm not going to marry a man like that. I'm going to marry a macho man. It's a disaster. Because if you get past her father's weaknesses and you look at his strengths, to this daughter, to this girl, a patient, gentle soul is a man. A macho man is a gorilla. So although she may want to avoid repeating her mother's pattern, she's going to end up with something that isn't even a man in her estimation. And in reverse, if the father was a strong, loud, domineering type, and she says, I will never marry a man like that. I'm going to marry an artistic, gentle. No, no, no. To her, that's not a man. In her role model, in her definition of man, that's not a man. She needs a strong man like her father, but without the sharp edges or abusive edges. But a strong man with an opinion who you can lean on. The first girl needs a soft, gentle husband who will let her be strong. So, same is true with the first husband and the second husband. The first husband is, in some way, fundamentally what you need, but without the shtick. So if the second, if you're determined not to marry anyone in any way similar, you're pushing yourself into an unnatural corner, and you're not letting yourself be who you are. So you got to relax. You're going to marry the man God chose, and you trust God to give you the challenge that will be good for you. So don't panic. Don't take cues from the first marriage. That was what was meant to be the first time around. Now let's see what God has in store for you the second time around. And it's always for the good.